All right, if you got your Bible, please turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Does anybody, I know it's been a long time, but does anybody remember what we taught on last Sunday? The Great Commission, absolutely. The Great Commission. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. The Great Commission. I'm going to pick right back up where I left off. And again, I feel like we will be here today and probably, I don't know, 2 Sundays, 5 Sundays, 8, I don't know. But I know that God is saying some things to me in this text. Matthew 28, verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. The Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Somebody say Galilee. Into a mountain. Somebody say mountain. Where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him. Somebody say saw him. Very important. When they had saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. Interesting. I hope you're teachable this morning. There's some things that God just really blew my mind with. But some doubted. And Jesus came, and he spake unto them, saying, all power. Somebody say all. All power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. In heaven and in the earth. All power is given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. We said last week that the Greek tense is more accurately as you go. You go, but it's as you go. And so we've seen some of the churches and denominations be really good at going. And they may start from here and just go straight to the ends of the earth. And we've got to go there too. But what can't be missed in what Jesus is saying is you go, but as you go. Because just to go means that I'm going to plan out a place to go and a time to go, and I'm going to go there and do it. As you go means anybody, anywhere. Anybody, anywhere. As you go, teach all nations, make disciples. Some of your translations say that. It's a better rendering of the original language. Making disciples. And if you remember last week, I showed you some things that Jesus said about discipleship. You remember some of those hard words? You got to take up your cross and follow him daily to be a disciple. You got to deny yourself to be a disciple. You got to be willing to give up this life here to gain that, you know, to be a disciple. You got to maybe forsake all to be a disciple. That's the language Jesus used. If you were here, we read it together, clear as day. It says, go make disciples. As you go, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Even until the end. How long are we supposed to do the Great Commission? Until the end of the world, right there. That's clear. That was not just some dispensation area time frame that we do the Great Commission then. It's from that point until the end of the world, God's people's to be carrying out the Great Commission. So those are a few things we mentioned last week. This came about with everything that's going on in our culture right now. All the division, all the hatred, the political chaos, governmental chaos, just all the craziness that's going on. And it's crazy, ain't it? I mean, I'm not, it just is. It's bad times that we're living in. It's bad times that we're living in. All this came to me because I was trying to process it all. Am I the only one that's been trying to process all this? And how many of you know you just can't really wrap your mind around all of it? Yeah, I got frustrated in the process of trying to process this. And nearly to the point that I tried to do things, well, I'm going to be more open-minded. I'm going to try to think from this angle and think from this angle and just trying to process all this. And you know, what I found is that was harder to do And then the problem was this: how can I get up and tell you as the under-shepherd of this flock what we're supposed to be doing if I can't even process it because I don't know myself? So God, I asked the Lord, so what do I tell them? I need to be solid and know for a fact what I'm to do if I'm going to tell them what to do in anything. And so, God, I'm expecting to wrestle with him over this. Well, he'll give me an answer. And just immediately in my spirit, it was a great commission, great commission. And then it's just a matter of hours. I get a message from somebody inviting me to a place where this guy who flows in the gifting of prophecy is saying that God's telling him the great commission. I don't know him, and I do know the people that's associated with, but I don't know this guy. And just within hours, God is, not only has he said it clearly in my heart, now he's confirming it. How many of you ever had God do you like that? Amen. So I knew immediately the great commission. And it makes sense to me, because there was never a place where the church was supposed to stop and say, I don't know what to do. Nowhere in the language that Jesus teaches in the kingdom are we to come to the place where we have no clue what to do. Matter of fact, we should so clearly know what to do. That should never be the issue. The issue is doing it. The laborers are few. The laborers are few. It's not do we know what to do, but the question should be, are we busy doing what we know to do? And for a long time, I felt like that some of the church, some of us in these last days, knew what to do, just maybe was being lazy, apathetic, lackadaisical, and just not doing what we knew to do. But now I've seen recently, in light of everything in culture, that the church is starting to say, now I don't know what to do. Not every church, but if you've looked around, some of them don't even know what to do. And that was never the will of God, for the church to not know what to do. We're supposed to carry out the Great Commission, amen? We walked through that last week. I'm going to pick back up on that in just a few minutes. But where it is, we got to be busy doing what we know to do. I said Sunday or Wednesday, I don't remember when it was, that God will tell us things over and over. Just like moms and dads have to tell our kids to do the same things over and over sometimes. And I use the illustration of, you tell your kid to clean their room. How many of your parents told your child to clean their room one time and that was it? Never again. That fixed it. No, you're telling them to clean their room, and you have to tell them over and over. And one thing I said, that it may feel like frustration, but you're really not doing it out of frustration as much as you're doing it out of formation. You're trying to form something in them that they'll be responsible and do what they're supposed to do. Now, you may feel frustrated about it, but the end all is formation. And I want you to understand, in our faith walk as sons and daughters of God, he will always be our Father, and he's going to be very repetitive and redundant with us. He's going to tell us what to do over and over and over. And it's not out of frustration, but out of formation. He's bringing it to pass. Somebody say amen. So the Great Commission, as we go, we make disciples. I want to show you something in the text. I've never heard it taught on. I've seen these verses overlooked. I've seen verses 18 through 20 emphasized, and verses 16 and 17 just flew over. And God has just given me a whole heart full, blew my mind with some truth and revelation in these few verses. And I want to share them with you. Miss Brandy, if you would give me the outline, please. I want to present to you this morning, that knowing to carry out the Great Commission and actually carrying it out, the energy, the enthusiasm to carry it out, I want you to understand this Great Commission, the receiving and the fulfillment of the Great Commission in our life is birthed from an appointment, a perception, a position and passion, and appreciation. I'm going to convince you of that in just a few minutes, okay? I want you to see, this is so interesting to me. So interesting to me. Look at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, and you're going to have to just slow down and keep your Bible open and try to wrap your mind around this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. Where Jesus had appointed them. They had an appointment with Jesus. The disciples had an appointment with Jesus. In other words, Jesus gave them a meeting place, a place in which he would meet them. Watch this. Matthew 28, verse 7. No. Let me just go back. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was lightning and his raiment was white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, he is risen. Somebody say amen. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. He is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you. He goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. The messenger of the Lord said, listen, he is risen again. Yes, he died. He rose again. But he also told me to tell you that he's going on ahead of you a little bit. He's going to be in Galilee. And if you'll go to Galilee, you'll meet him when you get there. And there you're going to see him. Verse 7. Look at verse 10. Then Jesus said unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there they shall see me. Do you see what Jesus did? He resurrects from the dead, and he tells his disciples that we've got to have a meeting place. We got to have a little meeting. There's a whole lot going on right now, and what me and you need to do is just have a little meeting. So what Jesus is saying, I'm going to make an appointment with you, and we're going to sit down and have a meeting because there's a whole lot going on. Injustice. Injustice at Calvary. They release Barabbas? Oh, it's far worse than that. Jesus, who did nothing, is going to die for every man's iniquity, and he never did anything. He was innocent. Sounds like injustice, don't it? Hostility. Do you see the hostility in the culture at the time? They were hostile towards God. Listen, even before this, every time he did anything, they were always plotting how they was going to kill him. There is so much tension in the culture. Now, there's been tension. Jews and Romans, there's been tension. Even after this, the Jews and Romans, there's tension. Even we said last week that in AD 70, Rome would destroy Jerusalem. And before this, there was so much segregation that the Jews couldn't even be around the Romans in 139 BC. And then the Jews and the Samaritans, they got their own tension. And then everybody's got tension with Jesus. Everybody. It don't matter what he does. He can't do nothing right. Everybody has tension with Jesus. And then there's conspiracy theories going around everywhere. The chief priests are meeting together to bribe. And the politics are at work. They are paying off and they are bribing soldiers to say that Jesus' body has got stolen, and these people are arguing over who Jesus is and what happened to his body, and there's this conspiracy theory and there's this conspiracy theory and there's this truth. There's hostility and there's tension between ethnicities and nations going on. There's division and hostility and hatred, and there's persecution and even more to come. That's what's going on right now in this text. Do you see this? And it sounds a whole lot like what's going on right now. Somebody say amen. So what do we do? What do we do in times of persecution and conspiracy and hostility and tension and division and hatred and injustice? What do we do? What did they do? I'll tell you what they did. They had an appointment to meet with Jesus, and that's exactly what they did. They just went and met with Jesus, and I have to assume, and it's safe to assume this right here, that when they go to Galilee, they go to a mountain, and I believe surely it was a mountain in which they had been to before and climbed up on top to pray to the Father. Would you probably agree with that, with the consistencies in the nature of Jesus? He was always ascending mountaintops to commune with the Father. And he taught his disciples prayer. And at times he brought them with them. And he says, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to make an appointment. I'll already be there when you get there. I've gone before you. We're going to set up a meeting place and have an appointment. And that's what we're going to do right now. Jesus says, I know some of you don't know what to do. Just meet with me. You should understand, this Great Commission, it was birthed from just an appointment where God's people met with him. What am I telling you this morning? What do we do? What do we do right now when sometimes we begin to second guess and wonder exactly what we're supposed to do? I will tell you the main thing that you need to do. You need to meet the appointment that Jesus made for you. You need to get up and you need to meet with him every day, day in and day out. Climb the mountain of the Lord and you need to meet with him. You need to come to Mount Zion in the glory of his presence, and you need to sit in the countenance of the Lord, and you need to meet with him. What can you do that's any better? Meet with him. Meet with him. I hear the Lord saying, I have gone before you into Galilee. I'm already there. I'm waiting on you to meet with me. Meet with me. I know you don't know what to do. Just meet with me. I know you got a lot of stuff going on in your mind. Just meet with me. Meet with me. I believe what God is saying in my spirit so clearly. He's just saying, church, meet with me. In these days of crisis and chaos, just meet with me. Go to the meeting place, which is your prayer closet or wherever you do it at home. Go to the meeting place, which is where the faith family assembles on Sundays in church times. Go to the meeting place and meet with him. Meet with him. My God, he's saying, meet with me. And please remember what I'm saying, that the Great Commission with these disciples, it was birthed out of a meeting with Jesus. If you go try to live out the Word of God, and if you go try to do ministry and neglect meeting with him, you will burn out and quit real quick. You will get frustrated and discouraged real quick. If you try to understand culture and everything in it, you're going to get frustrated real quick. If you try to do what God is telling you to do, yet you forsake and neglect meeting in his countenance, you will quit real quick. We cannot miss that this Great Commission was birthed from meet me on the mountain. Meet me on. Look, he could have said a lot of things when he rose again. But what he said is, hey, look, angel, you tell my people, tell them I'm going to be in Galilee and let's have a little meeting. Can I go further here? An appointment. My God. Watch this. The Greek word is tasso. Tasso. And it is ancient military language that means to draw up in order. It carries the idea that a general will put his troops in order and he draws up the methods and the strategies to carry out the warfare. I've never been in the military, but I'm sure it goes something like that. There's a commander in charge, and he rallies the troops, and they operate in order under a strategy to attack the enemy. It's amazing to me that this word that is used carries militant connotations. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm going to tell you what this means. Your greatest strategy in warfare with the enemy, your greatest strategy in the warfare that comes against you in this world, your greatest strategy is just to sit down and meet with the Lord and get in His countenance. Somebody say amen. The best thing you can do in the warfare is spend time with Jesus. That's where it's got to start. And it does. Don't it just feel? I ain't just talking about people at war with people, because people are at war with people. You know that, don't you? People's at war with people. Parties are at war with parties. Leaders are at war with leaders. Demons are at war with the Spirit of God and the gospel. There's so much war all around us. So much war. Don't you know? You think you can tuck your way in Winston County, Alabama, and hide from it? You can't hide from it from ever. Look, it's warfare, and it's going on all over more than anywhere else. It's going on. It's war, and it's real, and it's here, and it's in your face, and it probably ain't going away. Don't you know that? It's probably not just going to get better in a week or two. You are in the middle of a war, and we ain't fighting flesh and blood, but principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places that is manifesting in the flesh of men and the faces of governors. Listen, we need to understand we're wrapped up in warfare, and the greatest strategy you got is just to sit down and meet with Jesus. Let Him draw up a little order in your spirit. Let Him draw up a little order in your mind. Even when you're in the culture of chaos, you meet with Him. Somebody say amen. You see, he knew they needed to know that they got a lot going on. Confused about a little. A lot of stuff they've never seen. Culture's going crazy. And I just rose from the dead. He knew that they needed to meet together. And I want to tell you something. He knows what you really need is to meet with Him. Maybe I need to say it even more clear. So, more clear sounds something like this. Maybe you need to watch CNN less and read your Bible more. Is that more clear for you? Maybe you should not read Facebook as much as pray. Is that more clear? Okay. Here I am recommending sources to people left and right on that people I think they need to listen to, or this or that, and I'm certainly nobody, you know. I have a lot of people teaching me when I teach them, but you know what? Even me recommending this and that, never should it outweigh or be louder or take the place of communion with Jesus. You will gain more at the mountaintop of communion and great counsel in His countenance than any source that is working on this earth. Great Commission is birthed out of an appointment. Don't you know the people who make disciples as they go, the ones who are disciples themselves, are the ones that meet with Him? You know. Me and you both know. We know what it's like to try to make disciples and then we quit making them, then we quit being one because we realize we neglected meeting with Him. Number two, an appointment. But I want to say this to you. The appointment was all about a perception. Did you get that? The appointment was all about a perception. So what are you talking about? Verse 7, again. and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. You'll see him there. And then Jesus says in verse 10, be not afraid, go tell my brethren that they will go into Galilee, and there they will see me. They will see me. Verse 16 and 17, then the 11 disciples went to the Galilee into a mountain where Jesus had appointed, and when they saw him, I don't want to overlook no little words here, because these little words carry big meanings. The Greek word is horatho, and it's different. It's a little different than just to look at. Check me on this. It's not just to see with your eyes, but it's to perceive with your mind. Your psuche, your mind. He said, I want you to meet me, but when you meet me, I want you to see me. I'm going to say something. I'm going to say something to you, but I think it's important that before I say something that you see me. I need you to see me. I talked with a friend this week about everything that's going on. And I guess my take on what we are to do right now, because if you listen to culture, culture is very loud. Culture's voice is very influential. Culture's voice is very persuasive. Culture's voice thunders. And people are driven and swayed by the sound and the voice of culture. And don't you know, culture will conform a man? Right? Don't culture conform a man? Can't you about look at somebody by how they're formed and tell what culture they come out of? Can't we do that? Culture will conform a man. When we hear the voice of culture, it conforms us. So some of you have knew exactly what to do as a believer until you begin to listen to the culture lately and you second guess, because the voice of culture tries to shape and it presses and it conforms. And so I talked with my friend a little bit about just my very simple take on what the church is supposed to do. And my reference was 2 Corinthians 3:18, Ms. Brandy. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, transformed into the same image from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. Paul says, as you behold the Lord Jesus Christ, as you see Him, as you look upon Him, as you perceive Him, when you fix your eyes on the glory of Jesus and you perceive Him, something inside you begins to take place, and there's transformation at work inside of you, and you begin to look like the one that you are looking like. And if you look at culture long enough, you will begin to take the shape of the culture that you look at long enough. But if you look at the Lord Jesus long enough from the inside out, you will begin to be transformed and take on His image. And it is Jesus that culture needs. It needs a world full of Jesus. And it's going to get it if we behold Him and become Him. If you behold Him, you become Him. So Jesus says, we got an appointment to make. I need to make an appointment. We need to have a meeting. I want to meet you on the mountain that we used to pray at in Galilee. Just tell them to go to Galilee. They'll know where I'm talking about, because we've been there before. And they need to see me during this time right now. And all this confusion and chaos and tension and hostility, what they need to do is see me. But they got to stop what they're doing for just a minute and go to a place where I will be, where nobody else will be, so that they can see me. That's what the church needs. What good is it to go out and make disciples and try to carry out what the mandate that God has laid upon us if we look something that looks nothing like Jesus? So we need to see him in the meeting place before we go. A perception. Now, let me go further here. This is so good, what I'm about to show you. An appointment for perception. Perception will bring position and passion. I'm about to show you, okay? You got to have the appointment. There you find the perception. Jesus says, meet me here, then you'll see me here. And something began to happen when they saw him. When they get to the place, they see, the Bible says, and when they saw him, they worshiped him. And when they saw him, they didn't say they were worshiping and he showed up. It said when they saw him, they worshiped him. This is so good. Listen very carefully. The Greek word is proskuneo. Proskuneo. Made up of two words. The first half, the prefix pros, means toward or near. Pros. When they saw him, they worshiped, but this is what worship looked like. It was when they saw him, they went toward. When they saw him, they drew near. Let me give you the imagery. Matthew 2:11, when the wise men saw him, they fell forward on their face towards him. Mark 5:22, Jairus, when he saw him, he fell toward him on his face. The Syrophoenician Gentile woman, Mark 7:25-26, when she saw him, she fell toward him on her face. Luke 8:28, the man from Gadara that had the legion of demons, when he saw him, he ran to him and fell toward him on his face. John 11:32, when Jesus shows up, when Mary sees him, she falls toward him on her face. Revelation 1:17, when John is in isolation and persecution, when Jesus shows up, he fell toward him on his face. See, this is what happens when we meet with him and God has established a meeting place in your life daily, a mountain called Galilee in your life daily to meet with him. And when you get there, he will already go before you. He wants you to behold him. And when you see him, something inside our spirit wants to go toward him and fall down before him and begin to worship. What I'm saying is the Great Commission was birthed out of worship. Don't you miss that? Don't you miss that? They met in the presence of God. They began to behold him and they fell toward him. I'm going to explain this better, okay? They worshiped. Proskuneo. Pros is toward. You know what kaneo is? To kiss. Now, this is the word for worship. To kiss. Do you know the imagery here? The idea is to fall forward and kiss the ground you walk on. Nearly. That's the imagery here. Let me give you a way better picture of this, okay? This is so good. I need you to see what worship is here that the Great Commission was birthed out of. Luke 7:37. Some of you don't know where I'm going. My God. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet. Somebody say, kissed his feet. Kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Next verse. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what kind of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. Listen. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Who loves him the most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave the most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with her tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came, has still not stopped kissing my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loves much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, Jesus ain't died on the cross yet. And nobody really at the time was understanding that he was going to die for everybody's sins. Right? How did she know? How did she know that great grace flowed from him? And how did she know that he had the power to forgive the multitude of her sins? This is the only answer I know, is this right here, that somewhere he come into town and she began to watch him. And I just believe the Son of God has set himself on display enough that if you watch him enough, you cannot help but see the love and the grace and the mercy and the justice and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe she watched him. She began to perceive, not only with her eyes, but somewhere in her suke, she watched him, and something began to resonate on the inside that this is him. This is him. And she went, and in his presence, the one that she had beheld, she cast herself forward and began to kiss his feet. That is worship. So if we really want to say it, I'm not saying it is not good to be well informed on what is going on. You should be well informed. You should be studious, and you should be a learner, and you should seek to understand. But I want to tell you, the primary thing that should be taking place on the inside of you is a beholding of the Lamb of God, to the point that the sins you were forgiven of, the redemption that come upon you, the purchasing of your soul and what it cost and what it took, should be so powerful inside of you that it moves you more than all the world together and the rest of culture combined, more moved by Calvary and the blood of Jesus, to where you would lean forward and kiss his very feet. That is worship. And that is the appointment. That is the, well, what are we supposed to be doing? I just asked the Lord, and he said the Great Commission, and then he took me somewhere to his feet on a mountaintop to weep and worship at his feet. And there's something so liberating. about beholding him in times like this and letting his goodness and nature prevail on the inside of you to where it drives out chaos and confusion, and all you got to offer is nothing but intimacy and a kiss. Did y'all get that, or did it just go right over the top of everybody's head? We to be worshiping. I would say you would have to get up real early to prove me wrong on that. We behold him. Something about him demands a response. You know that, don't you? I may not demand a response, but Jesus, from the day he stepped foot until right now, who he is, demands a response. It's usually out of love or hatred, but it's always a response. Faith or disbelief, but it's always a response. His presence is so potent that you can't hear and not immediately respond in your mind and do something with him. The Great Commission was birthed out of that. Last point, and I said appreciate. I want you to see the chronological flow. There was an appointment. In crazy times, there was an appointment. And in the appointment was out of perception. He knew they needed to see him, didn't he? I mean, wasn't he showing up to them because he knew they needed to see him? He even said, look at my hands. Perception brings out the right position. Your heart will fall down and incline itself before him. And your spirit man will begin to kiss his feet. But it says some doubted. Some doubted. How? What? I never even paid attention to it. Some doubted. Never really heard nobody deal with it. Some doubted. I said appreciate because appreciate means to recognize fully. To fully, completely recognize. To appreciate something is not halfway recognize it. When something is appreciated, when it is fully appreciated, when it is fully recognized, right? Completely. Somebody say 100%. Oh my God, watch this. They doubted. They doubted. The Greek word is distazo. Please check me on this. Look. Distazo. Again, prefix dis, root word, stasis, stazo. Do you know what that means? Dis is double. Stazo, stasis, is standing. A double standing. They doubted. They had a double standing. They doubted. There was two ways. And they was trying to go down both. Distazo, they were shifting from one position to the other. Distazo, they're listening to the voice of the kingdom, but then they are listening to the voice of culture. And while some of them are worshiping 100% recognizing in fullness, there's some that want to go there, but when they do, they're getting distracted by the other way, the other voice of culture. Don't you know The devil, when he carries out deception or implements deception, don't you know it's preceded by distraction? Because it's real hard to convince you of a lie when you're wholeheartedly fully recognizing truth. But if I can get you to begin to look at the other path, stay on one, but try to get on the other a little. And listen mainly over here, but some over here, then maybe I can get you distracted. You got good core values. But now I'm really distracted. And now I might be starting to believe something that's not to be believed. In this moment of chaos, what else would they be? In this moment of chaos, confusion, who Jesus is, did they steal his body? Did he really resurrect? Did you know, all this stuff between the Jews and the Romans and all this chaos going on, all the division and the hatred and the some of them that are on the mountain, they're standing in two ways. And it'll always be hard to carry out the Great Commission when you're trying to entertain two masters. When you can't even discern in your spirit the voice of culture versus the voice of the kingdom. When you're trying to flow with both to keep both God and people happy. You know, what am I telling you? What am I telling you to do? What am I telling you? I'm telling you to try to understand, be sensitive, learn, be sensitive, try to understand. But I'm telling you this. More than anything, way more than anything, spend time with him and look at him. Don't just go through a chapter a day in the Bible. No, look at him. Don't just sing him a song. Don't just sing him a song. No, you make time to look at him. You look at him. Get into his presence and you get in the word and you let your heart, fix your heart upon him. In the response that it is demanding in your spirit, fall down before him. Worship in intimacy. Kiss his feet. To the point he says he still ain't stopped. Whatever you do, don't get distracted and try to go down two paths, or you'll live in doubt in a chaotic culture. And I'm telling you, there are some believers right now that's where they are. I felt it in me so strong. It's not a hard rebuke on people. It's especially the younger generation. I'm addressing something that they're experiencing, that we're experiencing. And it's God is calling it out. It is what it is. Distazo, a double path, and we need to go to the meeting place. Just meet with him. My God, just meet with him. Brandy, would you play that song? Just want to say this. In this moment of worship, what happens after this? Red letters start to flow. What does that mean? He started telling them, do this. This is who I am. This is what you do. And this is why you're going to get it done. I'll talk about that next time. This is who I am. This is exactly what you do. And this is exactly why you're going to get it done. And he whispered that, the same words that structured the universe, whispered that into their souls in times of chaos. That's what happens on the mountain. That's what happens when you kiss his feet. That's for another time. Listen, you worship right now. Can we do that? Let's worship. Let's worship. them fountains on the inside of you, them rivers flowing in your belly, which is the Holy Ghost, are flowing, the currents flowing inside of you. Roll with it this morning. Roll with it this morning. Worship Him. Worship Him. This altar's open if you want to come. Worship Him. Oh, goodness, He's here. He's here. Be in this moment. Just be in this moment right now in His presence. He's eternal. The absence of time. You need to get out of your time right now. Recognize His eternal presence. Of peace. I give you peace unlike this world can offer. I battled the resistance of men. I battled the resistance of sin to offer you peace. I took on chaos, hostility to grant you peace. I am peace. I give you the peace of God. I give you peace with God. The peace I give you is a supernatural peace. It's a transcending peace. It's a peace that culture can't steal. No man or woman can steal. All the devils in hell cannot steal. It will guard your mind. I am the Prince of Peace. And I give you peace. This day, I give you peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.